But so that we can be as close to ready to do business as possible, I'm going to call the meeting to order, and I'm going to ask the chief operating officer the items, we're going to shift the agenda to do information to item 5 and 6, auxiliary enterprise revenue report and the chief operating officer's report, and hopefully that will allow us some time for the board members who are on their way to get here.
Sure.
And I thank you for your patience, and I'm glad to see all of you here. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Trustee Shelton. On the first item, as we committed to you, is to provide you more transparency on our auxiliary operations, and we'll have even more conversations during the meeting about our auxiliary operations. We talk about the DCMR change. But that said, Mr. Franklin and his team have done a really great job of really bringing auxiliaries and improving the service levels of the auxiliaries, as well as changing the economics. You know, one of the bigger items recently has been with your approval, the Pepsi contract, so we appreciate that. But as you can see here, there's two documents here. One is from fiscal 18, so at the top of it, it says auxiliary enterprises, commission, rental, and parking revenues from October 2018 through December 31st, 2018. So that's the first quarter. Excuse me, that's the I'm looking right one, David. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, so this is the first quarter, and this is for the full year. Yeah, so this is the full year from October to September, and then this is for the first quarter for 2019, 2019. So let me bring your attention to the full year. For the full year, the big one, you see the various places that we're collecting revenues. Again, we'll talk about this idea of collecting revenues. But you see the bookstore, food services, some rentals that we have, like the Franklin School rents some space, classroom rentals, the auditorium, which is the theater rental, the parking garage. Contract parking is what we do for faculty and staff and students. Well, obviously, you see the student permit parking, the faculty permit parking is called out separately because we have a deal with the unions for their parking, and the student staff permit parking. And so you see it laid out for each of the months, and you see the overall totals that we accumulated was about $1.3 million on those parts of it. And then the overall, you have four more items down at the bottom, and you have an overall total of about $1.3 million of the various police of auxiliaries. As you're gonna see over the next year and a half, some other new items are gonna be showing up. So for instance, we're gonna be collecting rent from Starbucks. Now that we control 4250 Starbucks, and actually another rental that we have there is T-Mobile. People don't know that T-Mobile is renting antennas on the top of 4250, so we'll be collecting those rents as well. We spent quite a bit of time, and I anticipate over the next, it'll probably take us about another year and a half or so to actually have an aggressive set of retail tenants in the 4250 and the 4225 and the law school spaces. But that'll be some revenues you'll be seeing as well. Dave and his team have been working very aggressively to change our vending machine contract, so you'll see that. You'll start to see the money from the Pepsi contract also in the future reports. There's various pieces of money that Pepsi pays us that you'll see that in the future reports. So, and then the smaller report, and I'll close and let David add or take away anything I just said. As I just said, here is the first quarter for fiscal 2019, which is obviously October through December of 2018. And what you see here, and the reason I want to call this one out, as you can see, we're beginning to have more delineation of the types of revenue streams that we're showing in auxiliaries so that you can have more transparency. And we'll take any feedback you may want to have on even more segregation. But David's working with the OCFO team to make this more transparent so you can see that. So that's all I got, unless David wants to add, if I missed something. Ah, yes. So that's going to be another big one that we'll see more before we'll see the retail rents at 4250 and 4225. So 4250 has about 300 plus parking spots, give or take. And we are in the process, and we'll be bringing to this committee an effort to probably get an outside vendor to help us manage those, one of the local companies that does that to help us manage. But our plan is to be charging market rate, so I know you'll appreciate that, for those parking spots, but reserving some of them for the retail tenants we'll eventually have in that building. That's it? Any questions,
I would think a place like Spolina, which is
slammed for parking, we would really appreciate
they, it. They, think, okay, who talked to them, but yes, doing some valet, offering some valet service for them has been a conversation that has been had, so absolutely.
Yeah, lots of potential. Some general classroom rentals is what caught my eye. Explain why October and April are big classroom rental months. Someone would.
We probably had a conference come through.
Exactly what it is.
Okay. Probably, okay. Probably had a conference come through.
That's like the on the plaza events?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And, okay.
David Franklin, WCL. That is correct. Most of those charges that you see there are revenues, mm-hmm. where the high peaks are. Again, those are where we're renting out our classrooms for special events during different times throughout the year.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's just an interesting that it.
It probably was a conference that came through that.
Yeah, I just didn't know. Okay, now zip cars.
That's an interesting.
That's a hard year.
Yeah. So. I don't know if this is actually working, but
$100, $100, $100, $200.
It's space. It's small. It's just space. More. Yeah, all zip cars doing. If you put out here, you know the loading dock.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We got two.
We have two currently, and one at 801.
Yeah, so they're just renting just one or two spaces, parking spaces.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we don't get any percentage of the use of it.
Absolutely not. This is just, they're all doing is renting a parking spot.
And how does that compare to our regular parking?
Well, to be very frank with you, one of the things, this is one of the reasons why I'm pushing very hard along with the CEO to actually, when we outsource 4250, to do it at market prices. In comparison, again, those are very high in comparison to what our students, staff, and faculties are paying here at the university. You're averaging on a daily rate, again, $4 a day. With the discount,
mm-hmm.
and it's even less than that if you rent or you purchase your parking at a semester base. You're probably paying somewhere in the vicinity about $1.90, if I do the math, a day.
Mm-hmm.
So there's nowhere in the district that you can go and get those rates. So this is one of the reasons, again, I can't really control a lot of the things that we have happened here, but with respect to 4250, we do plan on renting that out at market value.
It's just been a concern over the years how much revenue is available for a parking space if managed correctly. I kind of hate to hear us giving it to someone else to manage, because in this town, parking next to a subway stop is better than a gold mine.
No disagreement with you there. I think one of the challenges that we have, to be very frank with you, is when you look at the numbers, it costs approximately maybe about $110,000 annually to run the parking facilities downstairs. And the revenue that's coming in from that is approximately about $500 and change. So when you look at the numbers, it's extremely profitable. But again, those are just based on our discounts that we're offering to students, staff, and faculty. So if you go to 4250, you're probably going to double that, if not triple that, very easily. Again, because we don't have the regulations that we currently have at our facilities here.
I don't understand that.
Okay, so let me go back.
They're not going
to discount. The amount of discounts that we're actually providing to students, staff, and faculties here at 801, we will not provide that at 4250. So 4250 will be at market value, and when you do the numbers, you're looking at probably doubling or even in some cases maybe even tripling your revenue, your annual revenue.
I'm gonna ride that horse.
But you don't want it this time of
year. Again, no. I want the money.
Right. Just to be clear.
So that you understand how long I've been on this issue. When we first started, there was no documentation of our income.
Yep.
And it's taken us hard work to get a documentation of our parking income. Now we've gotten to the point where we're getting real data in real time about income. These are significant changes from how business was done. Now, it doesn't mean we're going to be wealthier. It just means we're going to know what we come in, and we can plan a little bit better when you have some idea of where funds are coming from.
Sure.
And I appreciate the work that went into this. I have 1,000 questions, but today is not the day. I'll get you another time.
You know where to reach us. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions?
So moving on, if I may, to my COO report. Yeah, I'm on the COO report. So as we reported at the Audit, Budget, and Finance Committee, our fiscal 18 audit came back. No findings, as I said at the Audit, Budget, and Finance meeting. I want to thank you. There's a lot of things that we do around here. We talk about Team UDC, and that's a very important thing to talk about. But for me, an audit is probably the ultimate team exercise of a university. So I want to thank everyone in this room, everyone that's not in this room, for all the hard work across the institution to get us no findings again with our audit. When I wrote this report, the shutdown was still in effect.
We're getting there.
Got it. Yep. So I won't even bother about the shutdown since that didn't happen and it's not going to happen. So I won't even bother you with that.
It's good to know.
But we have some information. Yes, I went over the auxiliary report. We have a lot coming down the pipeline. I just sent an email to the team. Ebola just sent out an email. Ms. Bay sent out an email to the team about you. Your next meeting is a joint meeting with Audit, Budget, and Finance on April 26th is in my head, that sounds right. These are just some thoughts that might be there. We're still working through the agenda items, but it's a number of items need to come before the joint session that we will have. So I expect that to be a pretty healthy agenda there, including some DCMR changes potentially as well. Okay? That is my report.
Can I just ask, when do we decide to have joint meetings?
It's a conversation that I have with, in this case, Trustee Shelton and Trustee Jarvis as we're going through the calendar. Yeah. And he's always expressed a desire to have at least one a year. And the last several years we've had that one, but this year they've agreed to do two. So we're going to do one in April and there's another one later in the year.
Let me say for the record, we have extreme desire to have quorums so that we can do business when management comes to us with a need and several of us on several committees. So rather than doing two committees a week, if we could get by with one committee meeting and cover the agendas, that's one of the energies that went forward into why we joined them, because they're both, sometimes we have the same interest. We're more in operations, they're more into the finance, but sometimes they cross. But basically, we're trying to have a quorum so that the management can go forward with its plans as efficiently as possible.
It makes my life easier.
Yeah, well, I know. Some days, it's not all about you.
I know, but thank you.
We have a board member about to join us in just a minute, so I'm going to do a commercial.
You want to dance?
No, they keep trying to get me to sing and dance. I don't do that well at all. Not anymore. When I first came to the university, one of the things that I was most impressed with was how we would have an affair, an activity for, you know, and I'm going to say party because I'm from that generation. But we used to be able to throw a very good social outing. And over the last couple of years, there had been some less than sterling opportunities. But this last Friday night, the university stepped back up to the high standards that I value in how to have an event. And I appreciate the efforts by those who did it. No ma'am. Just thank you for being here. I wanted to take this time to say thank you to everybody who had something to do with it. It took a lot of heat off of me for the Hall of Fame dinner and the Hall of Fame committee, which was fired up because I had been telling them how great and wonderful we were. And for the last 2 years, we hadn't quite stepped up to the plate. But apparently management listened and the change was quite well appreciated. And I wanted to say publicly thank you to all who supported and participated and look forward to seeing you there next year. Thank you. That's my commercial.
And we thank you.
Now, as soon as we're ready, we will have a call to order, and that next item of business will be approval of the minutes. But then we'll go into our action items for discussion. And We're going to have a opportunity to have executive session at the end for some period of time, and
you are currently the only person in this conference.
Sorry. Thank you. All right. When you get settled, young lady, please roll call. Take your time. We're not going to run you too much today. You're doing good.
Mr. Shelton?
Present.
Mr. Felton? Ms. Lewis? Dr. Barazzoni?
Here.
Ms. Camden?
Here.
Mr. Chair, you have a quorum.
Wonderful. The first item of business is the construction contracts. And item A.
Are you going to do the minutes?
Oh, I'm sorry. Can we motion to approve the minutes?
A second.
Okay, Ms. Barazzoni, are you taking the motion?
Oh, yes, I so move.
Okay, and then we have a motion and second.
No,
I don't think I'm the one that does that. Okay, any discussion? Hearing none, I call for the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion approval of the minutes is done. The first next item is the construction causes kitchen at Bertie Backus campus.
So if I may, unless you have objection, you want to walk through all four of them one at a time? How do you want to do this?
I want a very brief informational about all of them.
Yes, sir.
I'm prepared to approve all of them, but I would like to hear
yes, sir.
A brief presentation, and I emphasize brief.
No, I'll do my best, and my colleagues will back me up with whatever I get wrong. Let me say at a high level two things. One is these are being per our regulations. We are bringing these to the committee's attention because they're all over $1 million. So anything over $1 million is brought to the committee and to the board's attention. So that's point one. Point two, this committee, along with board approval, approved the 6-year capital plan of $147 million. So within that $147 million are the funds that we're going to use to pay for these. An important point is how we get funding. We just get a lump sum of funding of this $147 million. That's spread out over the 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't get it by project. But you approved the series of projects that was in our capital plan. But that's not how the district just sees one bucket of money. Now, even within the bucket of money, we create pooled projects so that we have some flexibility as things happen. We're able to spend the monies as we need to. Many, I think I want to say three of these, Eric, were on the original capital plan, not all four. All four of them might be on the original capital plan.
Yeah,
four on the capital plan that you guys approved. So on the capital plan. And so as we talked offline, I'll say this publicly because I think it's an important point to say publicly, working with the general counsel and Eric's shop, and Mr. Thompson's shop, and Ms. Harris' shop, going forward, what we'll be presenting are contract summaries that lay out kind of the project, the rationale for the project, and the funding, and obviously the appropriate FIS and resolution that we have, but kind of a summary document that summarizes the information for you. So we will commit to doing that as part of our packages going forward. The last point I'll say, and I'm sure you all saw this as you read through them, these are four. These all went through a procurement process. It's a blind procurement process. We put out the bids. We get the responses back. There's a ranking that happens based off of those bids. All four of these were awarded to the same vendor. Because of that, the General Counsel's office spent quite a bit of time looking through the procurement instruments, looking at the procurement process, talking to Ms. Harris and her shop, and ensuring that, you know, we follow not just the letter but the law on this, and that all has been done. That's why the documentation that Ms. Franklin sent to you was a 200-page set of documents, because we sent to you all the procurement instruments that were used to secure these bids. So that's the general overview. Before I get into individual projects, any questions on kind of the general context?
And again, my question is, let me just say what caught my eye, because I'm interested in where the Bertie Backus kitchen is going to be placed. I read in Sunday's paper that a performing arts school had to separate itself from some artistic place, and they need a home, and they had several million dollars to renovate a site for an acting school that's separating from something else. And I thought of us renovating our auditorium and upgrading it, finding a partner who would be able to fund at least a large part of the theater. Is this the theater here or the theater at Bacchus?
No, this is the theater here. So allow me just to go then to that. Can I then go through all four of them? And then Eric can supplement whatever I may, Mr. Tom can supplement whatever I may miss. So the first one for your consideration, I thought I saw Dean O'Hara come in. She did. This has been all, I think, for the first day I got here, she reminded me about this project. This is for the demonstration kitchen that we want to put at Bertie Bacchus. It's been a long time in planning and coming. And so this is the place, a demonstration kitchen. I believe this is about $1 million bid that we're asking for your consideration. The
question, what do you mean by demonstration?
Eric Thompson, Vice President for Capital Assets and Real Estate Services. So the answer your question, Trustee Shelton, the location is the rear of the multi-purpose room facing out towards the parking lot under the gymnasium.
Okay.
And that location was identified because it gives ready access to those coming to the demonstration kitchen, even if the building itself is not an operation.
That's why I was asking, where was it going to be?
She just, why is it called a demonstration? Why is it?
So in partnership with the Causes Program, what they've been able to do at the kitchen here on campus, and this will give them the expanded ability to do this in the Bacchus community, is not only does the space serve as an educational kitchen for her programs, someone that is with an entrepreneurial spirit starting a catering company, or someone that is looking to learn more about how to cook certain types of foods, how to use some of the I'll call unique vegetation that Causes has been able to grow in the Maryland, D.C., Virginia area, they could get that demonstrated in that space. That's sort of a 10,000-foot view of it. I think if more detail is needed, I'm sure the dean can provide.
Can
sell
food.
Yeah.
I guess, a demonstration. I'm not trying to be my partner. yes, I am interested in whether it's used for classroom, whether it's used for experimentation, whether it's used for production, how many teaching stations it has. I mean, it's general. A demonstration kitchen usually has a very narrow and specific meaning, but I know the dean will tell us.
So the one I'll add is, so we did work with Causes. It has instructional space that can view the actual kitchen space, so that right. helps with being able to do both of those. Right.
Sabine O'Hara, Dean of Causes and Land Grant Programs. I can tell that you have had those programs under your responsibility
yes,
as a president of a university.
Right.
And you are quite right, it is more than a demonstration
right.
kitchen. It includes three components. One is teaching space for food science yes. and nutrition. One is so it has individual stations. I am not sure what the latest plans allow for, but here we have nine individual stations. It includes a commercial component, as you heard, for the purposes of launching businesses and supporting a business incubator concept
right.
for culinary and value-added components, and then a demonstration with seating space to view the food prep area. So the last plans that I had seen would accommodate all three of those components. We currently use the facility here to teach nutrition and food science. We also use it for food safety certifications through the National Restaurant Association. We prep people to pass those certifications. And we've had events with Chef Spike Mendelson, for example, to cook white pizza with greens from our roof. Those are very popular events. Bertie Bacchus, I think, is our next very flourishing up-and-coming site. We have not had a full farmers market there the last growing season because we wanted to test the viability. But the farm stands that we've had monthly have attracted between 150 and 200 people, and usually they were sold out by noon. There's a steering committee in that neighborhood. So the idea of expanding what we have there in terms of the food hub, so right now we have the two greenhouses, we also have the native plant nursery, and we have a a composting facility for teaching, and so it would allow us to add the food prep and value-added component of the food house.
Super. So it's real community development
it
as
is,
well as
yes,
teaching.
Yes.
Thank you.
And it would be used both for academic and land-grant programs, because some of our nutrition students who find that location more appealing. We've had students involved in the farm stands and in the community gardens over there. So they have served as our site coordinators, and we will continue that for the upcoming growing season.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
You want to take each one, or how you want
to
do it?
No, I pretty much. The campus data center, any questions about the data center?
I have a question about the theater.
Yeah, it's
so I didn't get you. Is that for theater productions, or is that?
So yeah, so let me talk about the theater.
Question.
Okay, yeah.
So the theater. So I think one of the big assets that we have here, one of the many assets, is a theater. And if you don't know, we've actually had it used quite often when the Kennedy Center shut down. A number of Kennedy Center events moved and have their events here at the theater. So it's gotten to be known beyond the traditional audience that we would attract. However, like all of our facilities here at Van Ness, it's in need of some help. And so this is one of a couple of phases that I think we're going to have to do to the theater to not just upgrade it, but frankly put it into position, as you mentioned, Trustee Shelton, to really attract a lot of other potential events that could come and frankly generate incremental revenues for the institution. So this is step one of X, and I have no idea what X is because it's a number of challenges in this building, but this is one that we think will at least set the basis for attracting some of those events. And so this is a theater lighting upgrade. It's not just new lighting, it's literally upgrading the electrical system in the building as well to support this theater. We know we need a new AV system in the building. We know we also need some work on the stage as well as in the green room. And so those are other efforts that, you know, we'll hopefully maybe look for some partners to help us with. But for right now, this is what we have for your consideration. So if I didn't answer your question, Eric can obviously answer it.
You did. Thank you.
So then the next one, if there are no questions, is the data center. So as part of when we came to this committee and to the board asking for your approval of our $5 million Cisco purchase, if you recall, I said we had to put that equipment somewhere. The equipment is literally slowly showing up, has been showing up kind of over the last several weeks. What we plan on moving our current data center, which is in Building 41, and you all know the condition of Building 41, we want to move that into the basement of the student center. Which is frankly where it was originally designed when they were designing the student center, but for cost reasons took it out of that original design. But we're going to be putting it back. For those of you that really want to know where that is, there's a doorway on the sea level that leads you into the basement of the student center, and there are a number of rooms down there that we use for everything from storage to just a general just empty space, and we're using one of those spaces that not only will it become our data center, but it will also become our emergency operations center as well in case of an emergency to evacuate to. And any questions on that? And the last one is some labs. We have in Building 42, and just so everyone, Building 42, you know, we have the joint building of 3242, so 42, and I guess I'm going to tell you on the map labs. Building 42 is the one on this end, and so we've got some labs that we've got to do in there. I think it's like two labs, Eric? We have two labs, so we've got to upgrade and improve the labs in Building 42. So that, again, if there's any more details, Eric can tell you, but that's kind of the general summary of our request to you. And again, each of these are over $1 million, so that's what we're bringing to your attention. That's it, Trustee.
If there are no other questions?
Can we move approval of them all?
I want to move approval of them all as one approval. But I think I have to read a couple of whereases, and I want to use one whereas to cover all of them. Okay? I need a motion to follow that process. Okay, I've got a motion. Yes, sir, you have a question. Good.
So once this is approved, is that a premature question?
No.
Okay. So once it's approved, what is the process like? How are we going about implementing it?
Our motion is to recommend to the board for approval.
Mm-hmm.
And by our committee having reviewed it, we're now going to recommend to the board, I'm sorry, the motion is recommend to the board that this be approved by the board.
Okay.
There will be another bite of the apple.
Okay.
But this, we're trying to enforce our committee structure. And so we get first bite. And if we have some questions or if you develop questions between now and the board meeting, ask them so that they can be answered at the board meeting. If it's the right question, we'll reevaluate. If it's a good question, we'll reevaluate. But it has to be, you know, we need all the help we can get. And that's the intent. The committee is just to push it forward, okay? I'm sorry, the first whereas I'm going to read is, whereas the president has approved the contract, and whereas the board is satisfied that the contract represents the proper culmination of the university's procurement process and represents the best values of the university, now therefore be it resolved that subject to the required approval of the council, the contract substantially in the form informed, the contracts substantially in the form attached hereto as Appendix X is hereby approved by the board and each of the presidents of the university. Again, that's what the board is going to approve. We're just going to recommend moving it forward to the board. Any further discussion? I didn't want to get too caught up in Appendix X because I wasn't sure there was an Appendix X for each one. There is one for each one. Okay.
Yes, sir.
So Appendix X is hereby approved by the board and each of the presidents and the university's chief contracting officer is hereby authorized to enter into the contract on behalf of the university substantially in the form attached hereto as Appendix A, and be it further resolved that as soon as practical, the president is hereby directed to transmit the contract to the council for approval. And so that's what we've done. And all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it. Motions carry. Now, the next item is one that is near and dear to me. It says DCMR change to allow for sales of goods and services.
Excuse me.
I apologize for
two. I know you're in a hurry. I told you. When we first started this outstanding farmers market and food services, one of the first things that irritated me was that we had these wonderful international products that we could not sell for profit to our very strong restaurant business in this city. For us to finally get to this point, I do commend us. I hope this is an integral part of it, that if we make it, we can sell it and make money off of it. And I'm totally in favor of this concept if it's done right. But I do want us to make some money. Yes, Mr. CEO.
So to also bring again Dr. O'Hare, I think this was the second thing she came to me after I started here, the inability to sell her produce from the farm. And so this, and I mentioned earlier about the auxiliaries, the reality of it is this allows us to really legitimize all the work that we just talked about earlier with the auxiliaries. So, but this is something that has been a long time in coming, and as we begin to expand the auxiliary services group, particularly with the retail that I mentioned earlier, I do want to point out one thing, and then this was brought up by the general counsel, and we've talked to the OCFO about this. This is going to potentially generate what's called unrelated business income tax. Thank you. Can spit it out. UBIT. So as I talked to the trustee Shelton about, that'll be a good problem to have. We will put those pieces in place to make sure that we pay the appropriate income taxes where appropriate on the revenues that get generated from this. But this is allowing us to legitimize and have the board say this is something we should be doing to drive auxiliaries for the institution.
And I want to believe that once we get this authorization in place, we will find a way to deal with the taxes.
Yes, sir.
Because there might be another avenue. I'm hoping we'll be able to find a legal way to balance the taxing demands of this opportunity. But I do think it's a long time coming, and I am very happy to see this.
Should we not pay UBIT on parking?
No.
We always do.
No. No, it's just that everything is taxed.
Small as it.
Any discussion, any questions about
move
the
approval.
Motion to approve DCMR change?
So moved.
Okay, and second.
Second.
Okay, everybody is in agreement. Discussion, hearing none. I'll call for the question. All in favor, say aye. Ayes have it. Motion carries.
Trustee, just to remind particularly student trustee that the process for DCMR changes, these will go to the board. The board will obviously have the conversation and seek their approval. Right. And then there's a 30-day window for comments that happens. And then at the next board meeting is when it's officially adopted and put into the DCMR.
So this can happen within this term, like this semester? Okay.
Yeah,
because the next board meeting is in...
It's the end of this month.
February 26th.
Yeah, the end of this month.
Well, not this, so it won't be... So February 26th,
so
after that. So
there's plenty of time for people to ask questions and make current considerations.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, closing remarks. I want to thank everybody for coming. I want to thank the people that did the work to get this done. These are some significant events, and they will make us stronger. And I appreciate it because it's a lot of work. Do I read this paragraph before the adjournment or? Yeah, I want to go into executive session. I want to take a motion to go into executive session.
Okay. So
moved.
Okay. Okay, removed and seconded. Okay, roll call vote.
Mr. Shelton?
Yes.
Mr. Felton? Ms. Lewis? Ms. Camia?
Here.
Dr.
Barazone.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, now I read the statement. What was that?
Oh.
Yeah.
I have.
Okay. In accordance with Section 2-575B234A and 11 of the D.C. Code of the Board of Trustees Operations Committee hereby gives notice that it may conduct an executive session for the purpose of discussing, establishing, or instructing the public body, staff, or negotiating agents, I gotta make sure I follow that line right, concerning the position to be taken, negotiating the price and other materials of a contract, including an employment contract, if an open meeting would adversely affect the bargaining position or negotiating strategy of the public body, discussing, establishing, or instructing the public body, staff, or negotiating agent concerning the position to be taken in the negotiating incentives relating to the location of expansion of industry or other businesses or business activities in the district, consulting with an attorney to obtain legal advice and to preserve the attorney-client privilege between the attorney and the public body, or to approve the settlement agreement provided that upon request the public body may decide to waive the privilege and discussing trade secrets and commercial or financial information obtained from outside the government to the extent that disclosure would result in substantial harm to the competitive position of the persons from whom the information was obtained. Now we're going to go into executive session. We will not be returning.
No, you have to return.
We have to return, and thank you. I'm glad you're here. We'll have to come back in here, but it'll be just to
report out.
That okay. With that, thank you. Have a great evening. Okay, we should be going by 15 after.
Evola and Avis.
Yeah.
I need both of you to.
Yeah.
And
yes. Just
yes, yeah. Ma'am. I think we need you. I think we need Deb. Because I'm not sure what you want. What do you want to do?
Contract.
Then I need I need Evola. I need Deb. I need Avis.
DC
municipal regs. DC municipal regs.
Regulations.
DC municipal regs.
It won't.
It won't be long. I need you. I need Deb, and I need Avis.
The reason I gave you this is what I sent you a long time ago, but this is what our responsibility is.
Right.
And we have not covered some of those responsibilities. So I've asked them to come in today so that we can effectively say in my term of office that we cover the contract.
I can turn this off.
Have some idea of what we're doing. And we're going into
yes, ma'am.
We're going into the back room, right?
Yeah,
oh, we are.
Yes.
Okay. Yes, I just noticed everyone bamboozling, so I thought maybe. May I look at this little bag? It's so wonderful.
My daughter. I've got wonderful children.
Pro case. That's a good one. Because I carry this little guy around.
Yeah.
and but, it should be better protected. I throw it in my pocketbook.
And well, see, you carry a pocketbook. I'm not allowed to.
Oh, hey, you're a man person.
My wife and my daughter gave me the blues because I bought one, a shoulder, you know, that you carry on one side.
Yeah, and say,
no man person for you.